Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUP.com.
The Bills make me wanna.
What is up, Bills Mafia? It is Tuesday, May 31st, as promised, the official post-OTAs practice edition of Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, brought to you today by Value Home Centers. Listen, if you are, we just had Memorial Day, Ryan, and I'm sure you know, you spent time with family, you were out and about, or maybe at home, maybe at a party. Maybe you want to grill something up, right? Well, guess what? Right now, you can get over to Value Home Centers. They got the Weber E210 grill, usually $499. It's $100 off right now. That is a huge savings on a grill that doesn't normally go on sale. Weber is the king of grills. And right now, Value Home Centers has you covered. Get over there today. We have you covered here on the podcast. Ryan Talbot, first of all, before we get going, how are you feeling?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. I don't have a pancreas or a gallbladder anymore. Sorry, I do have pancreas.
Whoa!
Oh, someone was talking about their pancreas today and it got me thrown off. I don't have a gallbladder anymore, but I'm doing pretty well, all things considered. Surgery on Thursday went well. I'm feeling better each passing day. But, you know, I don't think a lot of people are here in the chat for my gallbladder. I think they're here to talk some Bills football, Matt. And you were then there again today. I know you said it was kind of half speed, but tell us a little bit about what you saw.
Yeah. And listen, at this time of year, like one of the most important things that is happening at these spring practices, especially for new players, are install, right? Like, so they're going half speed in some of this 11-on-11 stuff just to go through responsibilities, getting things on tape, going back. Like you could show a player a play from last season. Let's take, for example, Roger Saffold, right? Veteran, of course. But you could show him a play last season from John Feliciano or Ryan Bates. But it's a little bit different when you're discussing it in the meeting rooms after you just did it out on the practice field and you went through the drill. And so that was one of the big things for me. A couple of veterans showing up today. Daquan Jones, Roger Saffold on both sides of the line. They were both there today, which I thought was interesting. I thought that we might get to the end of OTAs and some of these veterans that have been out so far, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, the two who continue to be out, probably out the whole time. But they get back week two, get things dialed up. And we got a chance to talk to Mitch Morse after practice today. He talked a lot about Ken Dorsey and that whole role. We're going to get a lot into Ken Dorsey over the course of the show. But he said one of the cool things about the new look of the offensive line is, A, he's really excited about Aaron Cromer, brings a whole new dimension to that offensive line room, a lot of energy, a lot of juice. But he said, I'm used to this being a business. I'm going to miss guys that are gone, John Feliciano, Darrell Williams. But when you can look to your left and see a guy like Roger Saffold, 12 years, 157 starts, and know the kind of knowledge that he has, even for a veteran like Mitch Morse, I think that that's valuable. When you're out there on the battlefield there a little bit and you're going to war against another team, it's cool to know that you got somebody over there that has been through all the wars in this league. And I think Roger Saffold showing up is another – it probably brought a smile to Sean McDermott's face. We didn't get a chance to talk to him today, and I didn't include it in my notebook today just because we didn't get a chance to talk to him or anybody on him. So I didn't want to go too deep into it. But Luke Kuechly, again, back out at Bills practice. He's making this a little bit of a habit. Wouldn't be surprising to me at some point if we see Luke Kuechly eventually join the coaching staff of the Bills or become a coach somewhere in the NFL. But I think that's probably where I'd start with the who was there and who wasn't. And I'm sure you've read my story right now. By now, Ryan, people weren't there today.
Yeah, you know, let's real quick. I just want to talk about Roger Saffold, and you know, you mentioned how cool that must be for Mitch Morse from a player perspective, having a veteran with that much experience. It's got to be really good from a communication standpoint too, because if things don't go well at some point in a game this season, you know, Morse, who is a wealth of knowledge on his own, can turn to a guy like Roger Saffold and say, well, what are you seeing? What are they doing that's preventing us from doing this, that, or the other? So I think that's another talking point there when it comes to guys like Daquan Jones and on the defensive side, and then Roger Saffold on the offensive side. You're bringing in players with a lot of experience on both sides of the ball this offseason. Von Miller, list goes on, Jameson Crowder. Guys that some of these younger players can lean on, but also some of the veterans can also talk to and can kind of compare notes, so to speak.
I thought that as OTAs go along, you'll start to see different names out there, right? Like people in and out. But the Bills had a number of people that weren't there today. The list was a little bit longer than it was a week ago. So Stephon Diggs wasn't there. Obviously, Josh Allen preparing for the match, he wasn't in attendance, which cleared the way for, you know, Case Keenum to and Matt Barkley to run practice today. And that's got to be a cool one of the things that Dorsey talked about today was, you know, Joe Brady really kind of getting his vibe in that quarterback's room. And, you know, when Dorsey came in 2019, and he didn't say this, but this is my observation, he was coming into a very like moldable room, right? Josh Allen was going into his second year. There wasn't a ton of success in year one. So it was kind of a situation where he can kind of get in on board a little bit and then kind of create that thing in his own image. Joe Brady's sitting there probably like, man, I'm coming into a superstar driven quarterback's room led by Josh Allen. And, you know, then Case Keenum, I think you can make an argument that he's kind of like a superstar quality backup, right? Like probably the elite backup in the NFL, or at least in that handful of guys. So to have, you know, a day or a couple days where, you know, Josh Allen is out in Vegas doing his golf thing, to kind of coordinate things with the rest of the guys in that room, I think could be important for Joe Brady, because that's going to be the core group around Josh Allen that really becomes his support system. Brady, of course, but Keenum and Barkley just as much.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a great point on Joe Brady. I mean, you're talking night and day difference between what Ken Dorsey saw when he first came on as quarterback's coach, now obviously offensive coordinator, and we'll talk more about him here in a minute, compared to what Brady is inheriting. And you know, for Brady, it's probably a blessing, because his last stop, Carolina, not great quarterback play there. It kind of stunted his growth in terms of, you know, that he was on a rocket at one point in terms of where people thought he was going, offense coordinator, head coach, one of the hottest candidates to where he is now. And there's nothing wrong with being a quarterback's coach, but when you're with a guy like Josh Allen, you have a top tier backup like Case Keenum, like you said, probably a top eight backup in this league easily. That's going to make his life that much easier. And while he is coming into a system where it you know, everything's kind of moving along steadily here, he can add some wrinkles into it where I think what he did at LSU, where he had a lot of stars around him and it helped him out. Obviously, same thing here in Buffalo. He has a lot of star power. He can add a few wrinkles to make this offense even better himself.
We knew Dawson Knox. He's been dealing with an injury. He missed practice last week. He was not out there today. It's hard to say. We don't get a chance to talk to Sean McDermott. So I don't know if he wasn't out there and inside the building doing some work. He wasn't out there on offense. Spencer Brown also dealing with something in practice last week. He wasn't out there again this week. And then an additional name to add to the offensive pile, Ryan, Cody Ford was not there today. You wonder, a guy that's really fighting for a job here, and I know that this is voluntary, but it would be surprising to me if he wasn't there because he just chose not to be. I wonder if something maybe, you know, is dinged up a little bit there. And then on the offensive side, but again, we don't know. So the next time we get a chance to talk to a coach, we'll be able to kind of clarify that for you guys. Probably mandatory minicamp is the first time we'll get Sean McDermott next. Khalil Shakir, the young rookie wide receiver, was working off to the side today. He did not participate in practice. I did tweet it out. He had a wrap on his left leg, and it went up, you know, around the quad and the hamstring area, and it went all the way down the back of the knee to a little bit of the calf and the ankle situation. So probably something he dinged over the last couple of days. And that's one area where you really don't want to see a guy like Shakir not practicing. for obvious reasons as a rookie, but also as an undersized guy. Like, if you start seeing injuries prop up for this guy, that's going to be something that I think becomes a little bit of a nerve-wracking thing for Bills fans. I think that's what really hampered Cole Beasley his entire tenure here. It's almost like he dealt with some type of injury every season. And then Jamison Crowder, he's had a really nice career, but he's been banged up at times too. I think those smaller receivers, sometimes they just, it's hard to stay on the field. So something that Shakir's dealing with here early on.
Yeah, something to monitor, obviously. Hopefully, you know, minor if he is working off to the side. Something that he'll be a full go when it really matters here come this summer. But like you said, you never want to see any of these young draft picks, especially guys that could make a some kind of impact as a rookie, already kind of falling behind. But as long as he's there, he's going to be learning the playbook. He's going to be putting things in motion. So that's the positive spin on that, absolutely.
Let's move to the defensive side of the ball. A couple obvious missing pieces today. Ed Oliver in the middle, he was not there. I did see him retweet a really cool clip from Aaron Donald this afternoon. He was on the podcast with LeSean McCoy and Brandon Marshall, and it was a really good clip. I strongly suggest figure out where to find it. Check it out. I'll retweet it if that makes it easier for you guys to find. But he was just talking about his perception or his process of watching film and the length that he goes to, especially at later on in his career where teams are like game planning against him, what he has to do in the film room prepare to make the impact that he's made. And it's like, it goes from starting with the guard that he's going to face that week and watching all of the guard tape, then moving over to the center, watching all of the center tape. And then watching the unit as a whole, following back up with the defensive line coach and watching everything back together and saying, okay, this is where I think I can win. This is where I think we got to run some type of game. It's like really detailed stuff about his whole process. I thought it was interesting. Ed Oliver retweeted to that today. He wasn't at practice, but I'm sure that there's probably a reason why.
Yeah, I saw that clip as well. And you're right. It's a meticulous process that he goes through, guard, center, guard. He talks a little bit about the tackles as well and what he might see in terms of getting chipped or getting hit off the snap. He puts a lot of detail into his preparation, and it shows obviously on the field. One of the best, obviously, defensive linemen of the last decade plus, but obviously if not the best interior defensive lineman that I've seen in my lifetime. So preparation goes a long way. I'm sure Ed Oliver's, you know, made some notes there. He probably does plenty of that on his own as well. So something to monitor there. See, Matt's off camera for 1 second. We'll be talking more about the defensive line today, the offensive line. We got Ken Dorsey for the first time today. I think Matt's going to want to talk about Dorsey here in a minute in terms of his first feelings, in terms of what he got out of the interview with Ken Dorsey. And then, you know, there's a clip going around, Matt, of the punt god, already over 100,000 views on it.
Yeah, I saw some of the national folks chiming in like, whoa. And he boomed one. I think he kicked it into the sun. It was so high in the air, which, you know, begs the question, like, is hang time going to be an issue for this guy? Maybe not. We'll see. Let's go there, though, Ryan. We'll get to Dorsey. Well, let's get to the punt god, because it was quite a clip that I think it was Matt Beauvais that put it out there. And if you look closely, you can see a lot of things on the video that he tweeted out there. Can't really get into too much of it, of course, but hint, maybe go check out the video a little bit. This thing is absolutely just shot out of a cannon into the sky. The leg strength was never going to be something that's an issue. I think going into this thing, that's what people raved about when it came to Matt Araiza. The thing that everyone wants to talk about is, can he hold for Tyler Bass? The second straight week, Ryan, they did 5 kicks for Tyler Bass. He missed one of them, kind of like line-drived it, shanked it to the left. The only person that held for him again this week was Matt Hawk.
Yeah, that's going to be something to monitor. Hawk obviously was kept around last year for his holding ability, but when you have a guy like Araiza who's booming 70-plus yard punts at practice – you want to at least give him that opportunity. Maybe it's happening behind closed doors when the media is not present. I'm sure that they're putting in some work there. Arise is doing some work on his own in terms of holding and things like that. But with Hawk, it just doesn't seem like there's a path for him to have a roster spot. Even though he is such a good holder, so to speak, for Tyler Bass, it's just not worth it with a Super Bowl quality roster. Every spot is precious. So as long as Ariza shows any capability of doing that, you got to ride with those young guys. You already know that Tyler Bass is very good at what he does. He'll adjust to maybe the differences that might come up with Matt Ariza. But Ariza, for his leg, his punting ability, the fact that they drafted him for a reason, there's no doubt in my mind that come September, he will be the holder. He just needs to start getting some reps, you know, in front of the media and sooner rather than later, in my opinion.
We can transition now a little bit to Ken Dorsey, because there is there's a lot to get into with some of the questions that he answered today. And of course, this was the first time, Ryan, that we really had a chance to talk to Ken Dorsey. He wasn't made available after the Bills promoted him a few months ago, but we got to talk to him today. And, you know, my first observation, if you will, of Ken Dorsey is how comfortable he feels in his skin as the new offensive coordinator. He was real, but he was also honest. And he was like, listen, I'm still kind of feeling this thing out. He had a great quote. He brought up the Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby quote, where I don't really know what to do with my hands. And he said he feels like that sometimes walking around now after being the quarterback's coach for not only 3 years here, but multiple years in Carolina. Now being a guy that has to kind of go around and run the entire, steer the entire ship of the offense. It's just, it's a new dynamic. It's going to take getting used to.
Yeah, and that goes in all aspects, and we'll talk about it here in a minute. But he was asked today about being on the field versus being in the booth. These are things that he has to kind of work through, going from drill to drill, taking on those extra responsibilities now that he's offensive coordinator. And there's no doubt he'll be successful in that role and be able to take on those new roles. But it is a learning process. It's just like anything else. When you get a promotion, when you get a new job, there's some learning that goes along with it, learning on the fly, so to speak. And, you know, I'll let you get into it a little bit as well here, but in the booth versus on the field, it's an interesting conversation because when you're on the field, it's nice to be right there with your quarterback after a drive or with your offense and talk things out, be there face to face with them. But I think what Brian Daboll saw over time is, man, when you're up in the booth, you see a lot of things live in terms of what defenses are doing, how they're disguising things pre-snap or what they're doing right at the snap. And you can call that down and get that, get some things changed on the fly. So whether or not that's the same thing that Dorsey ends up doing, time will tell, but there's certainly pros and cons to each approach.
That's, you know, obviously something that they're going to work out over the next couple of months for Dorsey. And he was quick to say that Sean McDermott's been great about, you know, the practice setting during the spring here, letting him kind of work through some things in terms of calling plays when they go up tempo, do some team drills. But really, he said the only way to really figure out how good of a play caller you are, or, you know, how good you're going to be on Sundays and, you know, game days, is doing it. And you need the live reps to do that. He said he's been doing a lot of things to prepare in the meantime. So that comes with, you know, running through, you know, his own game scripts, dialing up like a collection of film snippets, running plays, running up scenarios, having other coaches come in, kind of set the scene a little bit, and then him having to kind of dial up the play, call the play, get it in, and kind of go through the motions that way. There's a lot of different ways that you know, coordinators practice, if you will, you know, run through the dress rehearsal. You have to do that. Brian Daboll would tell you the same thing. Even as he, you know, got to a comfortable place in calling plays, it's something you got to kind of, you know, rehearse over and over and over again, so you're ready for all these different situations. And one of the things that I brought up on a radio show earlier today is I'm curious how a potential learning curve for Ken Dorsey as a play caller could potentially impact this offense at all. And I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be a bad thing or painting a picture like, there to expect one, but I think for a guy that's never done it before, There's only so many ways that you can, you know, prepare for it. And we saw so many times last year where Ryan, like little things in the game, like, you know, Ryan Dable not going away from the run soon enough or leaning too heavily on the pass over the course of his career. I mean, we've seen quarters where they've just thrown the ball and, you know, not adjusting quick enough. Like, those adjustments are going to have to be made. And this is a guy that's coming into this role that's very raw in that role.
And he is. You know, one thing, and it's not fair to Brian Dable, but one thing that I think Dorsey might even be able to lean on is his former experience as a quarterback. But obviously both in college, but also in the NFL, he had some starting experience. He started a few games in his career. He was a backup for quite a few years. You know, when you're on the field as a quarterback, you have to make adjustments on the fly. Now he's going to take on a similar role as offensive coordinator, and it's going to be up to him to be able to make those adjustments and notice, well, hey, listen, they're playing really light up front against us. I think there's a lot of yards there for Devin Singletary or James Cook, someone we can talk about here in a few minutes. Or if they, you know, if they see heavy blitzing, we got to opt out to something X, that play X, Y, or Z. Little things like that, you're right. You get better at it by doing it, by being in those scenarios. But for now, all you can do is kind of mock it up. Maybe you go back and look at tape from last year in games and, okay, here's what, you know, Brian called or what maybe he had a hand in calling as well. What could we have done differently? What should we have done differently based on what the defense was giving us or what they were doing? It's little things like that that I'm really interested in watching over the course of this season. In the next few seasons, obviously, in Ken Dorsey's, I don't want to say improvement, but his growth as an offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Part of that growth is going to be opening up your ears to the experience that's in that locker room right now. I mean, you bring in Aaron Cromer, you bring in Joe Brady, two guys that have been offensive play callers in this league, offensive coordinators. That's a huge deal and something that Ken Dorsey said that he was all in support of, bringing in guys that had experience, that had done the job before, bringing what has worked for them in their systems and kind of blending it together with what the Bills are going to do. And he basically said, listen, it's going to look a lot similar. You know, a lot of the things that Brian Dable did and the core philosophies, you know, he shares them. Like, we're going to do whatever we need to do to win. That was a quote that he said today. He was asked about, you know, did they need to develop the run game a little bit differently? Did they need to find a more consistent running game? And he's like, right now it's hard to project that because we're just trying to build up every part of what we're doing. If you focus too much on one thing right now, you're not going to, you know, get everybody up to speed on everything that they need to do. So, you know, I think that collaboration is going to be one that's really interesting to see. And maybe that's what tweaks things a little bit. And I think to a degree, Dorsey can lean on, whether it be on the sidelines or in the booth, Brady and Cromer on game days, a lot like I'm sure Brian Dable leaned on Dorsey when he was the passing game coordinator last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one other thing about Ken Dorsey here in terms of what we were just discussing, it goes back to Brian Dable over and over again and what he learned from Brian Dable. There was a time when Dable went to Cole Beasley, actually, I should say Cole Beasley went to Brian Dable and said, hey, listen, I ran this route at SMU and I think it would work in this offense. And then sure enough, it got inserted and it worked. And it was a play that netted positive yards, might have resulted in a touchdown. But it was all because Brian Dable listened to his veterans. And this is exactly what Ken Dorsey's going to do. There's a lot of guys that have been in the previous regime system, obviously. Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis has been here a few years now, Dawson Knox. But then you just have veterans in general, like Jamison Crowder, who can come in and tell him, hey, listen, here's what I do really well. Here's some things that have worked for me over my career. And then try to get it worked into the playbook. You can do that with O.J. Howard. You can look at O.J. Howard in his first few years in Tampa Bay, where he was catching a lot of touchdown passes. He was a more of a focal point for that offense, and you can kind of learn of some of the things that he did really well. How can we utilize that here in Buffalo? Is it as a traditional tight end? Is it as a big slot, so to speak? How can we utilize Singletary? How can we get James Cook, although Cook being a rookie, not being in that veteran category that I was just talking about? What are some things that Cook did really well at Georgia? Obviously a powerhouse program that went against the best of the best that, you know, we can utilize here. So that way he can hit the ground running as a rookie in 2022.
It seems that Ken Dorsey has a little Mark Ruffalo in him, apparently. Gabriel Davis joked today that when they're asked about, you know, where he's going to end up calling plays, Davis was like, he's going to be up in the booth. Don't you worry about it. And later on, I don't think everybody picked up on that he was so passionate about Dorsey being up in the booth. And Mitch Morse was asked about it. Here's Mitch Morse's quote. Is that why Gabe joked about him being up in the box? Because he's like a super killer competitor, which is what Mitch Morse said. He said, yeah, that's definitely it. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit comes out of him every once in a while. And it's kind of fun to see. Basically saying, like, you don't want to be around when Ken Dorsey absolutely explodes, which is so funny to see. He's such an even-keeled kind of guy. Seeing him on the sidelines all these years practicing, like, you see Ken Dorsey, you know, I would sit here and say, that guy would never hurt a fly. It reminds you of the human version of the Incredible Hulk, but apparently he's got a little bit of green guy in him.
I'm not surprised. Again, go back to his college days, man. He's probably one of the best college quarterbacks of all time. You have to have that fiery competitor inside of you, get everyone riled up on the sidelines. And now that's going to transition over to him as a coach, as an offensive coordinator as well. And because he was a quarterbacks coach, it was probably behind closed doors these past few seasons. But now that he's the offensive coordinator, I think if he's on the field, you're going to see it on the sidelines. If it's in the booth, you might get some clips of him up there showing some of that passion. And obviously, when you meet with the coordinators every week post game and things like that, he might be a little more fired up in those meetings as well about certain things. So I'm interested to see him, you know, the Hulk version, so to speak, of Ken Dorsey.
You know, every week we want you to be checking Syracuse.com as often as possible. We'll have you covered with all the latest coverage of the Buffalo Bills. You can find links to the Shout podcast right there. We also want you to get in the habit of heading over to valuehomecenters.com. Customers can shop there anytime, buy online, pick up today, or find a huge selection of products that they have. They'll ship it to your local store from their warehouse for free, and you can head over there and pick it up. Listen, they got tons of programs going on over at Value. Check this one out. Text Value, V-A-L-U, to 80692. You'll join their text program. You receive an immediate $10 off a $40 purchase coupon. Plus, you'll be the first to know about new promotions, deals, and new products. Value Home Centers, place to be.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Ryan, where do you want to go next here? Take me there.
Let's go James Cook. You know, obviously the rookie class is always a topic of conversation. You mentioned some nice tidbits in your notebook today about, one, Devin Singletary being very impressed with Cook. And, you know, how is he looking as a pass catcher? How is he looking here in the early stages of OTAs?
That's the thing that stands out, right? Like, you almost – we sometimes ignore – the natural part of the game, right? Like the easy parts of the game, just things that we take for granted that players can do because they do it on a consistent basis. I've seen Devin Singletary catch 100 passes, right? I've seen him drop some, but like the way that James Cook catches the football, I mean, it pops for you, right? Like it's just something that he's so fluid, like with his motion. It really, you know, sticks out even as a rookie. I thought today was it was routes versus air. It was the beginning of practice. Singletary was the first in a rep, and he dropped the ball. And listen, he's the ultimate competitor. He went and did some push-ups off to the side, went to the back of the line, ran it again, caught it the next time. But, you know, when you see that, you kind of, you know, flip your eyes over a little bit and say, all right, I'm going to watch the next guy up. And the next guy up was Zach Moss. He made the catch. And then it was James Cook. And it's just – he looks just a little bit different. And Devin Singletary talked about the fact that these guys have known each other for a while. He's worked out in Florida with Dalvin Cook. Worked out this offseason with James Cook. And he had a couple vets that really mentored him as a rookie. We all remember LeSean McCoy and more so Frank Gore, what they meant to Singletary as a rookie. He's trying to be that for Cook. And I think that dynamic between the two could be something that allows James Cook to really get himself comfortable really quickly. And we know, you know, kind of what he can do from a skill perspective standpoint. I mean, Devin Singletary knows. He said so.
Yeah, and Singletary is a team first guy. That's why I knew it was not going to be an issue when Zach Moss was drafted. That's why I knew it wasn't going to be an issue when James Cook was drafted. He's all for what's best for this team. Now, obviously, he's going to want his own carries just like he did at the end of the season when he was shining. But he's going to be able to answer any questions that James Cook has. He's going to be able to learn, though, from James Cook a little bit as well. Cook is just so smooth as a route runner, as a pass catcher, as just an athlete, so to speak, that I think Singletary might pick up some little things there. But when it comes to knowledge of the playbook, what am I supposed to do here? You know, the X, Y's, and Z's or the X and O's of the game. Cook is very lucky to have a guy like Singletary, someone that he already has a rapport with, that he can go to with any questions that he has. And I think that the two of them are going to end up being a really solid 1-2 punch for this offense.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And, you know, I also think that there's going to be so many different ways the Bills can utilize some of those skill position players outside of the running back room. And listen, Khalil Shakir, he's done some stuff in college as a running back. We've seen what the Bills have done with Isaiah McKenzie. Who knows what kind of packages they'll have. You know, Jamison Crowder, how do they deploy him, depending on how it goes. I'm really excited for Isaiah McKenzie this season in terms of what he potentially can do. I think last year we kind of saw a little bit of sprinkling him all over the place again. I think that there could be a potential for him to have a more specific role. And I don't think it has to be necessary. And this isn't coming off of anything I've seen. This is just how I'm projecting him this year. He looks like he's so comfortable. He looks like, all right, he's got this system. He's been there longer than anybody else, just as long almost as Josh Allen. He came a few weeks into Josh Allen's rookie year, and Allen shouted him out, like I mentioned last week. And so I think that there's a lot of different ways. You know, OJ Howard, seeing him out there today, I was talking to Jace Kersky from the Buffalo News today. I'm like, dude, this dude looks like an offensive lineman. I mean, he's not bulky like that, but just his size, the way that he towers at the line, it's like, man, this dude, he's got all of the intent. I'm wondering if his body size is the reason he's had so many issues with his legs and his ankles and stuff like that. But man, is he just an absolute specimen, and figuring out a way to kind of deploy him as well. There's so many options for Ken Dorsey. It'll be interesting to see how he uses all of them and splits all this up. And also, like we mentioned, the impact of Brady and Cromer on this offense.
Yeah, real quick. Do you remember David Boston at all? Wide receiver.
Cardinals,
just like, yep, like, just like he, that's just what reminded me of your description of OJ Howard, like so muscular, but maybe that led to some issues and things like that. The hulking frame, but you know, hopefully here in Buffalo, he can get a fresh start. He can show what he can do because the talent is all there. All the intangibles are there. There's no reason that he can't shine. You know, Isaiah McKenzie, I was dead wrong on McKenzie. I would have bet Matt after the end of the season that he was as good as gone. The fact that Brian Daboll went to the Giants, the fact that there was a little, I wouldn't call it a butting of heads, but Sean McDermott kind of calling him out for the kick returning and things like that and not being able to trust him. I thought, man, this guy's as good as gone. And then sure enough, he re-signed here for a few more seasons. And I'm interested to see what happens because of that, because like you said, he knows the system. Last year when he was given an opportunity in that Patriots game, he was, you know, the star of the game. He was all over the field. He when you were trying to cover him man to man, you could not keep up with him across the middle. If this offensive line is improved, like I think it is, Josh Allen's going to have all the time in the world to target a guy like Isaiah McKenzie running across the field. And if it's man, he's eventually going to get open and you're going to have some big chunk plays there. So I am interested to see what his role is, how much playing time he gets, because there's definitely trust in him as a receiver, as a gadget guy in offense. He's done a lot of really positive things over the years there. And maybe the, you know, his time as a returner is the main guy there. Maybe that's over and done with after last year, who knows. But as a receiver, yeah, really interested to see what that next step looks like for him in 2022.
Couple other notes before we get out of here. Marquez Stevenson, man, like, I wasn't going to bring this up, but, you know, I do think it's worth noting. Had a couple of drops in routes versus air today. I mean, the hands is just, they're a real problem. I tweeted out a video, you're going to want to probably go check it out, of Ken Dorsey, who ended up just coming over to the wide receiver line during warmups, grabbing the ball, and he lined him up and was doing this drill where they put two dummies, tackling dummies about 5 or 6 yards apart, and the receivers had to run like a little bit of a slant route. And once they came around the outside dummy, the ball was on them. And there was a couple guys that dropped the pass. I mean, Gabriel Davis was one of them. He dropped the ball. A few more drops in there, but Stevenson dropped at least 2, maybe 3 in warmups today. And then they were going half speed. He had a couple catches during the team stuff, but it continues. The more this happens, the more that it's going to continue to be something we have to talk about.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Over the years I've seen track guys and I've had Bills fans be like, why don't the Bills ever sign like these athletes, these track athletes? Well, you need to be able to catch the football. It's one thing to be able to run fast. You need to be consistent with your hands and catching the football. And Stevenson, listen, he's not a track. He ran track, but he's played football obviously over the years. So he's not a pure track guy, but if you can't trust someone to catch the ball, it doesn't matter if he can get deep open deep downfield, because he needs to be able to finish those plays and haul in those long touchdown passes and prove himself. Preseason, he did it last year when his number was called upon. Can he do it in OT, or, well, can he do it in training camp? Can he do it in the preseason? And if he makes this roster, can he be a player that can make those big plays from time to time on offense? Time will tell, but you're right. The more these drops happen, the more of an issue and a concern it really is for Stevenson and his options, or, you know, the likelihood of him making this roster.
Speaking of Gabriel Davis, before we get out of here, I asked him today about his role now in this receiving room. Like, there's no Emmanuel Sanders here anymore. You know, Stephon Diggs is obviously the unquestioned number one leader in that room, but young guys are going to start to look at him. And, you know, that's something that he's battling right now. Like, you know, the fact that he's still a young player in the league, that he's still trying to get better. He's still trying to work on things, but at the same time, he has a room full of guys that are probably looking at him, a guy that just came off 4 touchdowns in a big time playoff game, you know, setting a record, saying, man, how can I learn from this guy, and trying to pick his brain? It's a different role for him. And so that's going to be interesting to see how he handles that. And I want to bring up the quote here. Having the experience now a little bit going into my third year and being able to play put up the stats that I've put up, I do see how that role is kind of being pushed on me now. So I'll do whatever I can to help those guys. But again, I'm still learning. I'm a young receiver. I'm glad I've got a guy like Jameson here now, Jameson Crowder, Stephon Diggs, even Isaiah McKenzie, guys that have been in the league for a while, to be able to learn from his knowledge and become a better receiver. So that kind of dynamic for Davis is one that I'm interested to watch, because Diggs wasn't there today. So, you know, that you look over in that receiving room, and sure, Jameson Crowder definitely offers that veteran presence, but it's just, I think, a little bit different. I mean, I don't know. How do you view Jameson Crowder? For me, with all due respect, like, he's kind of like a journeyman kind of guy to me. Like, you know, like, he's been around the league, he's seen a lot of things, I'm sure he can impart a lot of things, but when you're talking about big time player in the room, that's not Jameson Crowder. And I think Emmanuel Sanders, to a degree, he was that. He's had seasons of 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, Super Bowl championships. There's a level of superstar to that, right? I don't see Jameson Crowder in that mold. He's a good player. I just think it's a little bit different. And I think he does a little bit something different. If I'm Marquez Stevenson and I'm trying to make this team and I'm trying to be an outside guy, there's things you could probably take from Jameson Crowder, but I'm probably going to try to like put myself on Gabriel Davis's hip and try to emulate what he's doing.
Yeah, you know, Crowder, he's had some bad luck with the quarterbacks he's played with. He is a slot guy more than anything else. But I think he could end up being an impact player for the Bills. And I don't know what that looks like stat line wise when you have so many mouths to feed on this offense. But I think he's in a much better situation now than he's ever been in his career. But with Gabriel Davis, you're right. He's that next guy up at wide receiver that you look at him and you think of the 4-touchdown game. You think of the all-time performance against the Chiefs last year in the playoffs. And, man, this guy can do it all. He can catch the ball. He's a threat in the red zone every time that the Bills are there. He just does everything so well. And he's just a football guy. From the time he was drafted, he was out running routes to where he is now. He's just growing and getting better year after year after year. And just real quick side note, love the personality too. There was a video clip that was shared from Deion Dawkins' cornhole tournament where he was partnered up with someone, Gabriel Davis, and they asked Davis, you know, who are you? Oh, I'm Gabriel Davis. And the guy's like, oh, the running back. And instead of correcting the guy, Gabriel Davis is like, yeah, the running back. And he shook his hand. The demeanor, too. He's just a very laid back guy. He's someone that isn't going to be like, no, are you kidding me? I'm the guy that caught four touchdowns in that game last year. He's just kind of go with the flow. And I think players even are attracted to something like that, where this guy is always going to be there to answer a question, just like Stephon Diggs will be. But when Diggs isn't present, like you said, or if he's not around, Gabriel Davis is that next guy to go to.
Speaking of the next guy to go to, we're going to go to Brother Bill tomorrow. He is going to Thursday. Sorry, we rescheduled. Tomorrow's the match. We were kind of toying with the idea of doing a live show during the match and maybe doing some live reaction, but called an audible. Ryan was up in the coach's box, and he called down to the field, and he said, no, we're going to call an audible here. We're not going Wednesday. We're going Thursday. So don't miss the show Wednesday, 8 p.m. We'll have some reaction to the match, talk a little bit about Josh Allen and what he did with Patrick Mahomes against Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And we'll finally get on our interview with Brother Bill, Bill's Mafia super fan, whose fandom, whose profile has risen to new heights this past season. I think he was in a Labatt Blue commercial. He's been in several hype videos on some of the national TV stations. And so another cool story that we want to kind of try to bring to you guys. Talk a little bit of Bills with him. It'll be a fun time. That'll be Thursday night, June 5th. Check this out. Value Home Centers will be opening its newest location in Bath, New York. They're planning a special grand opening celebration. The store is already open, but the grand opening is on June 5th. It'll be a special will be running for 2 weeks. Crazy low prices. You haven't seen them in a while. You're going to want to get to the store in Bath. Check it out. I haven't looked, Ryan. How far of a drive is Bath from you?
You know, I don't know. I don't usually go to Bath, New York. I'm guessing at
least.
That's
terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whenever I ask you this question, when I ask you how far is it, like to one of the areas around us, you're always like from Olean, boom, I got it. this time, not so much, huh?
Well, I might have to know that though, because there's a value there, and I don't have one here, so I might have to make the drive to Bath to start getting my my materials at value up there once they have their grand opening for sure.
So I'm looking it up here, and it's about a 2 hour drive from Buffalo. I think it's probably, let's throw an Olean. You know, I'll give you the drive right now, Ryan. I think it's a little shorter. Hour, straight shot.
Boom.
Right up 86. Take you right to Bath, New York. Get the Value Home Center. Get your deals on. Get yourself stocked up. They're going to be running specials for the next 2 weeks coming up here on June 5th. That's when it begins. Don't miss out. It's great to have Value aboard. Bath is only a tub away. Tubs throw away from you. All right. That's it. I'll cut you off there. For Ryan Talbot, I'm Matt Perino. We'll be back on Thursday. Special another edition of Shout. Hope you all have a great week. Take care.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.